Welcome to the Mama Needs a Moment podcast. We're your hosts, Chrissy
and Cindy,
co-founders of Her Health Collective.
We are two moms obsessed with changing the way moms take care of themselves. We're so glad you're here. Let's dive in.
Her Health Collective hosts four roundtables each year in an effort to bring together our experts and dive deep into the topics that matter to moms the most. We have found that these roundtables are often our most well-liked episodes. Each of the experts represented in our roundtables have different professional backgrounds and specialties. When they come together and discuss women's health, you can expect to get different perspectives based on their area of focus. This is also a time for the experts to collaborate with professionals from other industries in order to create a more holistic model of care for moms. Our goal is to expand not only the experts' referral network, but to emphasize the importance of collaborative healthcare. In our roundtable today, we are discussing how to handle toxic family members and strategies for healthy conflict resolution. And I know this is going to be a popular topic because this comes up all the time within our Her Circle mom community. Today, we are honored to be joined by several of our HER experts. We're going to take a few moments to let each of our experts introduce themselves and share their area of expertise so that our listeners can hear each expert's voice and have a better idea of who is speaking during the upcoming conversation. So in no particular order, I'm going to just call out a name. And if you could just pop on and just introduce yourself and tell us what is your area of focus. We'll go ahead and start with Natasha.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Natasha Harvey. I am a massage therapist. I have been practicing for 20 years now. I have worked in areas from being a spa operations manager, lead therapist trainer, a coordinator for a massage program, as well as owning my own business now. And I'm located here in Wake Forest, North Carolina, and it's a pleasure to be here.
So happy to have you, Natasha. Sarah.
Hi. My name is Sarah Szymanowski. I'm a licensed clinical mental health counselor associate, which means I'm a therapist and I focus on the perinatal spectrum and beyond because never really ends once you become a parent. I really like to support parents as they're developing their identities in parenthood, coping with the personal challenges that come up along with the societal challenges that come up. And my business is called Fermata Counseling. It's a nod to my 10 years practicing as a music therapist, the name.
Thank you, Sarah. We're really excited to have you here. Melanie.
Hi, Melanie from Root Guys Wellness, your gut guru. Really happy to be here. I am an herbalist and a health coach focusing highly on digestive health. Gut health equals whole health. And I focus heavily in helping women and really empowering women with digestive issues to heal themselves physically, spiritually, and emotionally. It's really whole body work that I do. A lot of mind body work, a lot of emotional work, tapping into the vagus nerve, tapping into different modalities that help people to really understand their body's needs and to really get people out of their own way so that they can heal. And I also teach classes, herbalism and health classes for kids and adults.
Thank you, Melanie. I know you're going to have some awesome insights for us today on this topic. Last but certainly not least, Erin.
Hi, Erin Bowdy. And I have an interesting collection of skills to contribute. I am a behaviorist by trade. I've been working in leadership behavior for about 2 decades. And that has turned into me as a behavior and business strategist for female small entrepreneurs, small business owners. But in that work, I have become an expert at trauma-informed therapy with a 9-year-old on the spectrum and a 7-year-old with ADHD and depression. So, you know, all of that trauma-informed work has changed the way I do leadership development and really taken a personal approach to it. So for about the last 13 years, I've used a personality model in my work to help with the identity things that we navigate, the habits and behavior change that we navigate. And I'm a PhD candidate in organizational psychology. So I take all of that work together on top of being trained in somatic experiencing with the nervous system work. So it's really fun. I get to take all of my roles and my hats and help women in business thrive. And I love it. many of them are of which are moms. So that too is a big job. So yeah, I'm here to provide from lots of perspectives.
Thank you, Erin. I know you're going to have some awesome insights too. Really excited for today's conversation.
I would love to explore some more specific methods of handling conflict resolution. I think this is extremely important. We are always looking for a better way to handle the challenges of life that are thrown at us consistently. All of us are always looking for those better ways to do that. Well, none of the methods that we're going to discuss are quote unquote easy. It is sometimes nice to have a roadmap when it comes to navigating difficult situations. One of our experts who is in the directory, Holly Moore, she's a mental health expert, shared with us that, quote, when conflict occurs in the family, it's often happening between established family roles or younger parts of the self, end quote. She mentioned that a person should imagine how they wish their adult part or self would show up for their younger self. What would it look like, feel like, sound like, etc.? Can any of you walk us through the parts work a bit more and how it can help in navigating family conflict?
Yeah, so I just want to preface that I am not a mental health licensed person who has gotten professional training in parts work, but because I've done it so much on myself, being on the receiving end, and just realize how important it is the most valuable tool I use, honestly, most valuable tool I use in my coaching practice. And I find that it is most valuable for those people who are able to go there. And you really do have to be able to kind of go there. But the way I do it is I get people first to feel into sensations into their body and what's calling their attention the most. Maybe it's your lower back. Maybe it's your chest. Because it's so hard to get to that cognitive level and we feel what we feel. No judgment, you know, whatever is you were feeling. So then once we get to that part, let's just pretend it's the lower back. Okay, what are you sensing there? Can you describe it for me? I get people to describe the color and really get into what's called the felt sense. This is also called focusing. This is another technique, but it overlaps a lot with parts work. And essentially, I find very, very similar. But focusing on, okay, let's see your lower back. What colors are there? What does it feel like? Once I get them to really feel it, then I'm able to say, okay, what parts of you are there, right? So like what emotion is attached to that feeling? And then it's something in me feels, because you want to detach yourself because we all have these different parts of yourself. So you use the language, something in me feels, and something in me feels angry. Okay, anger. And then we invite all the parts to the table. Like basically everyone is welcome here. Because what do we do as humans? We push away all our negative parts of ourselves. No one wants to feel anger or hatred or sadness or grief, right? We tend to just push that away. So this really forces you. Now, when you get into giving that part of you a voice, the something in you, and you realize that, oh, all those parts are there for a reason. They're there to protect you and you welcome them. You let them have a voice. What is it that they want you to know? And then you're able to tap into, okay, are they able to maybe protect me in a different way or maybe not? I lead the questions depending on where the person is at and what's happening. And people can go very deep. At the end of it, what happens is you feel like a weight has lifted off your shoulders. Just somehow going that deep, you always feel better is what I find, because we store all this stuff in our bodies and we need to give it a voice. It can definitely help with conflict resolution, with personal issues you're going through, with everything, digestive issues. I find it so valuable.
Thank you so much, Melanie, for diving into the parts work a little bit.
Erin, I'm going to turn it over to you. I'd like to talk about healthy conflict resolution as a skill, as a mastery skill that requires a significant amount of self-awareness as well as body awareness. And then it requires the capacity and space to hold what might be true for someone else. You talked about this a little bit, your work with the Enneagram. Within the Enneagram, this is called speaking to their listening. And knowing your type can help you navigate this work because it's really nuanced based upon our different personality needs and structures. Can you give us some examples by Enneagram type? This is fascinating to me. So lay it on us.
Yes. I first want to share the sort of regulating tool that I use with everybody, regardless of type, that helps when we're in conflict, because everybody has a different orientation to conflict and safety. And so we want to get to homeostasis before we engage, right? And in my world, in like leadership development and business strategy and business coaching, we focus on language, and language is the last step, right? I actually don't need good language if I do all the other stuff okay, right? Because I can build co-regulation and connection and conflict without this sort of perfect script. And so I use a combination of Dr. Bruce Perry's 3 R's, the regulate, reconnect, reason, which I've learned in trauma-informed parenting. And then I add a little bit of the somatics into it. And so our work is to go bottom up, right? Our work is to reorient to our space first. That's step one, to reorient, which is to say, in conflict, my body gets triggered. I might go into fight, flight, or freeze, whatever that looks like for me. And reorienting allows me to remind my body and my heart and my brain that I am inherently safe, right? And this does not work if you are in an unsafe situation. We're going to assume our privilege of safety in this conversation, okay? So we're going to orient to a sense of safety. And then I'm going to regulate, right? I'm going to try to bring my body to homeostasis. And that's different for everybody, right? Some deep breaths, some walking, some space, laying down, a little shavasana, whatever the returning looks like for us. And then we do the reconnecting work, right? So we reorient, we regulate, we reconnect. Then this is where we establish our sense of belonging. And so in conflict, this is where we say, you know, especially with a spouse or a kid, a family member, a mom, a parent, I love you. We're in this together. I see that we have a difference of opinion, but at the end of the day, like, I got you, right? Whatever that looks like, that reconnecting, maybe that isn't available in the relationship that you have. So then we reconnect with self. I got this. I am not alone. I belong to myself. I may not feel like I belong in this relationship, but man, do I belong to myself, right? Whatever that looks like. And then I go into reasoning. Then I go into problem solving. Then I go into language and negotiation and all of that, that effective communication. So that is how I walk every Enneagram type through conflict. And then we add in, okay, how do you practice conflict safely before you engage in conflict where it feels the most dangerous, which is often in the situation, right?
To our Patreon supporters, thank you. We appreciate you so much. Our goal has always been for moms to know they're not alone in the tough and challenging phases of motherhood. We know Mama Needs a Moment provides this to our listeners.
We are thrilled with the growth of the podcast over the past 2 years. Last year, Spotify shared that Mama Needs a Moment was in the top 30% most followed podcasts, was heard in 9 countries, and had more content than 97% of other creators in the family category.
We have recently launched a Patreon account for Mama Needs a Moment. This is a great way for you to provide additional support to Her Health Collective.
We've set up 3 options for Patreon supporters, each with its very own perks, such as special events, discounts, and bonus content from each and every podcast guest that is available only to our Patreon supporters.
Will you become a Patreon supporter? It would mean the world to us.
So let's take like the Enneagram type 2, which is often seen, especially in like Christian Enneagram communities, as the ideal for women, right? This people pleasing, caretaking, nurturing. And I think every woman in some way, shape, or form is conditioned to this culturally. Oftentimes this type, or even the type 9, Cindy, can have a hard time saying no in conflict, right? I have a hard time asserting my own needs. So I encourage folks not to in conflict because my body doesn't feel safe yet. So what I'm going to have you do is I'm going to have you go home at, you know, end of the evening, and I want you to script out the incidents where you wish you would have said no, or all of them. And in the scripting, I want you to do that bottom-up work. I want you to reorient to safety. I want you to regulate your body around how it feels to say this no this clearly. I want you to reconnect and practice reconnecting language with that other person. And then I want you to ascertain the solution or the recommendation or the negotiation, right? And the more I practice, that's the cool thing about neural pathways. My body doesn't know that that's not real time. So the more I practice those neural pathways, the more equipped I am going to have that sense of safety to then say no. So I always tell people, in conflict, go to the easiest place first. If it's easy to hold your boundary with your kids because they don't feel so scary, practice with them, get really good with them, then try your husband. If your husband's your safe place and then your kids, that's fine too, or your boss or your parent or wherever it is. And every Enneagram type has their own way through it. That's just the type two. I don't want to take up time because I want to hear from Melanie. And like, but I'm happy to provide, like in show notes or something, Cindy or Chrissy, like specifics for each of the types.
That would be wonderful.
We'd love to briefly discuss the setting of boundaries around negative comments about food around children. This is something that comes up again in our Her Circle community a lot, and it came up actually amongst the experts earlier before we started this episode. Food choices, meal practices, the behavior of our children. These are all issues that can be so entrenched in so many families. How can parents navigate these types of challenges? Sarah, I know you had stuff you wanted to say on this topic, so please dive in.
Yes. So if you are dealing with this challenge, know that you are not alone. We're all raised in a diet culture. It seems like en masse, our generation with kids right now is trying to break this cycle. So the challenges that you face, you're not alone in them. When I see clients and their kids start solid food, this is bound to come up. And I think the idea, and I'm going to go ahead and just call out moms, that oftentimes it's the moms or the grandmas that the mother fears will perpetuate the cycle. And so there's a lot of anxiety around the dinner table and sharing a meal with the grandparents. And then there's stress on the grandparents too. So it's going back to that empathy piece that I was talking about earlier. The grandma was raised in this culture too and has her own issues and battles she's fighting around food. But she also loves her grandchild. And so with the knowledge that she has, she may not be as in tune to what you are trying to approach. So step one is to communicate. Hey, mom, we aren't going to talk about good and bad foods, you know, so I'd appreciate it if you keep that kind of language away. So first, stating a preference about that. And then, you know, stating boundaries about it too. Like, mom, I hear you're like talking about calories during dinner. And, you know, if that's going to happen, we can't have meals together. But then also knowing, like, if you don't want to go that far, there's a lot of fear that being around the person who contributed to your own negative issues in relationship with food is going to affect your child. And I just want to call to attention that you are their primary caregiver, their primary attachment. And so what you are doing for them has way more power than another person around the dinner table. So just to keep that in mind as you are working through these boundaries, that just exposing them to grandma is not going to mean they're going to be like you, because grandma was your primary caregiver and your primary attachment, not theirs. So yeah, this is super common. And when I think of boundaries, I think it's one that a lot of people are dealing with right now.
So this is both personal for me and part of parenting neurodivergent children. So I am not a nutritionist by any stretch of the imagination. So your nutrition advice needs to come from folks who are more educated than me. I am generationally recovering from disordered eating and all of the things that come with diet culture. I was celebrated for having an eating disorder and being very tiny in my family. And so had to do a lot of therapy and a lot of healing work around and intuitive eating. And so being really conscientious about carrying that over to my children. And so I think the first personal piece of advice I would give is heal your own food stuff. Because it is really hard to set a boundary with anyone else if you don't have your stuff healed and understand the role, you know, culture and society and generational stuff all plays into it. And then the privilege that comes around food too, right? I have a daughter who is ASD who doesn't have hunger cues. So we are dealing with 9 years of a little girl who doesn't eat. And so it shifted food for me because it had to, it became survival. And at some point it's, she can eat anything because she's just eating. And so this sort of recognition for me as a parent where it was like, if you want ice cream for breakfast, fine, you can have ice cream for breakfast, because we've started changing our language about food to not be so emotional. Right? It's objective. It's nutrient based, right? So what does ice cream have in it? It has fat, it has protein, it's got fast fuel, right? That my kids understand at 9 and 7, the difference between a fast fuel and a slow fuel. And they know the kinds of food that go in a fast fuel. The cinnamon roll you have for breakfast is a fast fuel. Your body is going to need more than that. So let's add some protein along with it, some full fat milk, and you'll get both experiences. And so they're not having emotional conversations about food like I did or my mom did. They're talking about nutrients and they understand what the nutrients do to their body. And they know that food is not a privilege. We don't take food away, right? It's not an earned or a punishment, because food is a right to live, right? It is how we survive. They understand that privileges are things that they want, not that they need. And so we don't take food away as a punishment. We take the emotion out of food. We talk about the nutrients. And then when my mom comes in and she comments on food, my kids are actually the ones holding the boundary. Grandma, there is no good or bad food. There's just fast fuel and slow fuel, right? And I'm like, yes. And my nervous system doesn't have to navigate my mom as often because it gets triggered by all of that other stuff, right? So that's my advice from a family who has paid for thousands of dollars in feeding therapy and nutrition support and everything in between.
Erin, that is a mom win right there, to have your children hold that boundary. So pat yourself on the back right there, mama.
Yeah, I was just kind of laughing. Erin, I can so relate and appreciate everything you said. I'm a feeding therapist. As another job that I wasn't going to talk about, but now I have to. Yeah.
You are so loved, Melanie. You are so loved.
Let me tell you, I'm taking a break from it. It's really not easy therapy, but I am pretty good at it. And I just wanted to mention, for anyone dealing with a picky eater, because we are talking about toxicity in the home and positive language, I have a whole class on my website called From Picky Eater to Food Explorer. And I encourage you to never refer to your child as a picky eater if your child isn't eating a lot of food, because kids, just like adults, live up to their labels. And you want to always phrase it in the positive. So I call them a food explorer, make it exciting, make it happy, or a food adventurer. And if you're looking, this is a whole nother topic, I'm not going to get into it, but just to say, if you are looking for strategies, I have a really great class that talks about what you can do at home, where you can get help. And it sums up basically what we do in feeding therapy and how it can be really supportive. And I've had a lot of success getting kids who eat like 5 things to eat 30 things or whatever. So it's definitely possible. Just wanted to mention how important the language piece of that is.
Thank you so much to each of our expert panelists for joining us today. Toxic relationships and handling conflicts are topics we hear in our community of moms, and they bring them up repeatedly. And we appreciate each of you taking the time to come together and discuss this issue and share your own unique thoughts and perspectives. Be sure to check out herhealthcollective.com for more great content from each of these expert panelists throughout the year. And go check out our Patreon station, where we have a wonderful example that Melanie did of emotional freedom tapping technique.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, everybody. We appreciate you being here. We've enjoyed hanging out with you today, friend. We hope you got to finally enjoy a hot cup of coffee as you listened. Make sure you follow us so you're the first to know when we drop a new episode.
If you've enjoyed your time with us, let us know by leaving a review. We always love hearing from you. Until next time, stay true to you.